Thank you for the invite back. Thank you, Kurt, for inviting me back. It's great to be with you. It does feel like I'm amongst friends because I know so many of you. Right, I'm going to show you a picture and I want you to shout out what you see when you see this picture, okay? Shout out straight away. Oh, wrong one. Oh, there we are. All right, okay. Right, what do you see when you see that? How many see more of a duck? How many rabbits? There's a few there, okay. Well, depends on your perspective. What about this one? Do you see a young woman or an old woman there? Who sees the old woman? It's a bit more difficult. Who can't see the old woman there? Okay, you have to kind of, I have to squint like this. I have to close my eye. And when it sees it, that's her nose, that's her eye. Can you all see the old woman? You have to... That's wrong. Can you all see it? Okay. It's all a matter of perspective, isn't it? How you look at that picture. Can everybody see the old woman now? Sean can't, still can't see it. If that's her mouth there, with that. I'll show, if you can't, you can have a look at it later. But it's funny, you can look at the same thing and different people can see something completely different, can't they, in that situation. It's all a matter of perspective, isn't it? And the definition of perspective, a particular attitude towards or a way of regarding something, a point of view. Now, when we hear the phrase point of view, we think of it as an opinion, don't we? Oh, that's their point of view. But you think of where that phrase has come from, a point of view. It is how you see a situation, isn't it? And how you see that situation depends a lot from where you're looking at that situation. Like with this picture here, I really struggle to see the old woman, but if I kind of close one eye and still, I can see it when I kind of, if I look at it different, it all has to do with how you look at a situation. It's to do with perspective. Daf, gafen chi ddim chydig bach? Okay. Now, I needed to pick somebody who was a little bit shorter, but I didn't want to offend anybody, so I can offend Caris. So I thought I'd pick on Caris. Okay. Now, David and Caris have slightly different perspectives on life, don't they? With that, when they see, especially in a crowd. Caris, have you been in a crowd where you kind of struggle to see things and kind of all you can see is the back of people's heads and stuff like that? Do you get that experience often, Davs?
Not for 25 years.
Not for 25? Okay. David's perspective is different, isn't it? Because he can see things from that height of, what are we,
6'4"?
6'4". 6'4". Right, opposed to Caris's... 5 foot and a bit? 4 foot 4. Oh, right, okay, so that's not bad. She's tall, she's very tall. I should have got your mum up, should I? All right, I should have got your mum up with that. So thank you very much. Take a seat. Diolch yn fawr iawn. It's a matter of perspective. And in life, our perspective is very important, isn't it? In fact, it's totally crucial. We can look at certain situations, or we can look at ourselves, and our perspective on those situations depends on where we look and how we look. You know, we can often look at things, our perspective is often from our own perspective, isn't it? How we perceive things, how we see other people, how we see our circumstances, how we see ourselves. But this morning, if we're here as Christians, God asks us not to look at ourselves, our circumstances from our own perspective. He wants us to have his perspective on these things. As he tells us in Isaiah 55, doesn't he? His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. And he asks us to have his perspective. And when you think about it, okay, Davs has a different perspective maybe from Karis, but God is the creator and the sustainer of all things. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. His perspective on our life, his perspective on our circumstances, and his perspective on our lives is going to be very different. And God invites us to have his perspective. It's as if God is saying today, I want to give you a shoulder ride. Because you imagine if Davs gave you a shoulder ride in a crowd, apart from coming over with total fear, if you're scared of heights, your perspective would be completely different, wouldn't it? You would be able to see, rather than just staring at the back of somebody's head or the back of somebody's back, if you're not that tall, you get to see the fuller picture. And that's what God wants to offer us this morning. And we see this principle worked out in a really famous Bible story. But we're not going to look at the full story. We're just going to look at the beginning, which shows this to us. It's from Judges chapter 6. And we're going to look at the story of Gideon. And I'm going to read. It's a bit of a long reading, but I'm going to read the first 18 verses of Gideon chapter 6. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and the other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hands of the Egyptians and delivered you from all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not listened to me." The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizarite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep them from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied. "But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. So we see in this story, Gideon and God had very different perspectives. They had very different perspectives on their circumstance, on Gideon's circumstances, and they had very different perspectives on Gideon himself. So why don't we have a look at that? So firstly, on Gideon's circumstances. Now, as you can gather from the reading, things were not great for the Israelites, had they? Was it at the time? They had been invaded by the Midianites, and they were obviously a pretty mean lot. They had stolen all their crops, they'd trashed the land, they'd taken all their livestock. Things were not good. And how did it leave the Israelites feeling? Well, I was really struck by verse 2. Verse 2. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. That jumped out to me. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive. It was not good, was it? They were overwhelmed by the Midianites. They'd left nothing alive. They felt overwhelmed. And I don't know how many of you this morning have had that same experience. You felt overwhelmed by things. You felt overwhelmed by your situation. You felt overwhelmed by your circumstances. Well, that's how the people of Israel and Gideon felt at that time. And the angel came and showed up and spoke to Gideon. But Gideon's reply shows us clear what Gideon's perspective was on this difficult situation. Verse 13 says, "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." Was Gideon in a good place? No. How did he feel? "The Lord has abandoned us." He says, because if the Lord was with us, look what he says. If the Lord was with us, well, why has all this happened to us? Sound familiar? Have you ever said those words? You know, if God was with me, why has this happened? If God was with me, why has he not answered my prayer? If God was with me, why has he not got me out of this situation? It's easy, isn't it, to feel that when our situations are hard. It's easy to feel that in the pain and suffering of everyday life. God has abandoned us. God has abandoned me. And I'm sure many of us this morning have felt that. Maybe recently, maybe a long time ago, maybe even this morning, you're feeling that in your heart. Has God abandoned me? But was Gideon's perspective the true perspective? Was he seeing the situation as it really was? Well, you ask Gideon, of course he was. That's how he was feeling. That's how he felt in that situation. But was that the true perspective? Like that picture of that old woman. Shan couldn't see it, but does that mean it wasn't there? No. The old woman was still there, but Shan couldn't see it. And what was the truth in the middle of Gideon's situation? Well, had God really abandoned Israel? Had God abandoned Gideon? No. Well, we get a clue. God had a plan all along. If we look at verse 1, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hand of Midianites. Had the Midianites surprised God, as Andy was saying earlier? Had it taken him by surprise? No, of course. This was part of God's plan. God had allowed Midian to invade. And why had he done that? Well, you could read that and you could think, was it because he wanted to punish Israel? Do you think that was God's heart in this situation? Sometimes we can feel that in our own situations, can't we, when it's hard? Is God punishing me? What have I done to deserve this? But no, verse 6 shows us why God did this. What does it say in verse 6? Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. God knew what was best for Israel. It wasn't to have flourishing crops and lots of livestock. What was best for Israel was for them to be in a relationship with their Heavenly Father, with their God. But they had turned their backs on him. And sometimes we need a wake-up call. And God knew that he had to use Midian. And they had to use Midian for 7 years before they finally got the message, until they were finally so impoverished that they called out to the Lord for help. God hadn't abandoned them. God had a plan through it all. And the same is true for us today. God has promised, hasn't he, that he will never leave us or forsake us, he says in Hebrews. And what was Jesus' very last words to his disciples before he left the earth? Yeah. What did he say? Surely I am with you always to the ends of the age. And is that a cruel joke? Was Jesus just kind of teasing them? No, this was an absolute, cast iron, totally dependable promise. Jesus was saying, surely, in case they were doubting, because the verse earlier in chapter 8, some were still doubting. They'd seen him die. They'd seen him raised from the dead, but they were still doubting. And Jesus finishes with this, surely I am with you always. Till when? Till the very end of the age. And so, God promises to be with us, whatever circumstances that we face. And even more than just being with us, because sometimes in a hard situation, it's nice to have a friend who's with you. You can share your burdens. He's there with you. That helps, doesn't it? It helps to know you're not alone. But sometimes that friend can't do anything at all about your circumstances. It doesn't change the circumstances. But with God, when he promises to be with us, he also promises that he is working for our good in that situation. One of the first verses I tell my gap year students to learn, because when I was younger, I find that, you know, I think it's because of information is so readily available to people, and especially to young people nowadays. They're distracted, they go from something so quickly that they don't learn verses very much. But one of the first verses I tell them to learn is Romans 8:28. And maybe it's familiar to you. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Is that a familiar verse? Have we heard it before? Maybe it's not. But for most of us, maybe it's a familiar verse. And has that verse been spoken to you in a difficult situation? And if you're honest, have you felt like slapping them when they've given you that verse? And they kind of say, you don't know what I'm going through. You know, they just, you kind of see it as this kind of, you know, this little cliche. Oh, don't worry, God's working for good. It'll all be all right. And you think, shut up, you don't. But there is powerful truth in this verse. If we grasp the reality of what this verse means, if we lived by this verse, our perspective on our circumstances, whatever they are, will be different. God is promising in here, in all our circumstances, that He is working for our good. And if you read, we haven't got time to look at the following verses, 29 and 30, tells us that that good is to change us, to make us more like Jesus. Because God knows that's the most precious thing. That's the most amazing thing that can happen to us, is that He changes us to make us more like Him. Because one day we will be like Him, face to face. And He says in all circumstances, in everything, He is working for our good. He is changing us to make us more like Jesus. And ultimately, therefore, to bring Him glory. And that is God's perspective on our situation. For we know that in some things, God's working. I want you all to answer. For we know that in? I'm not convinced I'm hearing it. For we know that in?
Always.
Fine, I can say you to shout that out now. But think about what you're saying there. That whatever situation, you are declaring there that you know that in all things, God, who is my Heavenly Father, is working for my good. Maybe not the good I would want. Maybe not the good I would have chosen. Ella's out of the room now. I can say it. Ella thinks her good is different to what my good is. For when Andy asked what the perfect dad would be, Ella's first thing was, a dad who lets me have sweets, is what Ella's first thing was. She said the other day to a friend of ours, I'm fed up of having a dad as a doctor. He never lets me have anything nice. She was kind of thinking on the sweets front. My perspective and Ella's perspective is a bit different. I kind of still think I do know what's best for Ella. Do you think Ella agrees with me most of the time? No, she doesn't agree with me. Do we and God agree on what's best for us all the time? We're a bit like Ella, aren't we? God, I know what's best for me. It's get me out of this situation now. But God, as our Heavenly Father, sees things differently. And if we genuinely believe this verse and live by this verse, not only our current circumstances are changed, but of course what it does, it changes our future perspective on our future circumstances. Do we have any worriers in our midst here today? No, Sean's shaking her head. No, there's one brave lady who's willing to admit that she's a worrier. Is she the only? Gosh, you've got a holy bunch here, Kurt, in Rhythm Christian Fellowship. Only one worrier in the whole church. No, I think, do you worry about what is to come? Do you worry about future perspectives? Do you worry about your kids? Do you worry about your parents? I don't know, whichever stage of life, do you worry about both? Or whichever stage you're in? Do you worry about what's going to happen to you? What's going to happen? If we believe this verse, I know that in all things God's going to work for my good, then I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry when my 20-year-old son goes on a journey in his car. I don't have to worry. Loving him doesn't mean I worry for him. Loving means that I trust that God is going to work for his good and my good, whatever happens. And he loves me, he's my heavenly Father, and he wants the best for me. Do we believe that? Gideon didn't. And God had to come and show him his perspective. But Gideon's story doesn't only teach us about our perspective and our circumstances, but I was really struck again about how it teaches us about how we perceive and how we see ourselves. Look at verse 11 and 12 again. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." So as we've seen, the scenario is the country Israel and God's people were in a big, deep, dark hole. They had been trashed by the Midianites. They finally call out to God. And God's plan is he sends an angel to Gideon. Now, has he sent the angel to the head of Israel's army? No. Has he sent the angel to their inspirational political leader? Nope. Sounds like a bit of the beginning of Kung Fu. Do you remember that cartoon? Hong Kong Fooey, do you remember? Is it Rosemary that... Sorry, that's only if you're old enough to remember that. Is it... So anyway, that was a distraction. Nope. Did he send the angel to an insecure, fearful, and doubting young man? Now, if you were God, would you have picked Gideon? No. We've just read, he was threshing wheat in a wine press, which was a hole. You don't thresh wheat in a wine press, but he did it because he was scared. And what does the angel say to him? The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Or mighty man of valor, the ESV translates it. Was this a case of mistaken identity? Because did Gideon recognize himself in the angel's description? No, he did not recognize himself. How does he respond? The angel comes again and says to him, "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?' 'Pardon me, Lord,' he says again. Gideon replied, 'How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the least in my family.'" Gideon's perspective, mighty man, mighty warrior. No, Gideon's perspective, weak, unimportant, fearful, God can't use me. Which one do you recognize yourself as? The mighty warrior or the weak, unimportant, fearful, God can't use me? And had God got it wrong? Was he deluded? Was it mistaken identity? Had he come to the wrong one? Well, no, he hadn't, because God's perspective was different. And I think, before we give Gideon a hard time, you think of the situation. We might be familiar with the story, but you think you are the youngest in your family, of an unimportant family, of an unimportant tribe. You are pretty much a Mr. Nobody. There is this awesome, overpowering, oppressing army which has trashed your land for 7 years. And God comes to you and say, "You're going to save Israel out of Midian's hand?" Do you blame Gideon for reacting like this? Would you have reacted the same way? But Gideon needed to hear again what God says to him again in verse 16. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. I will be with you. In case you hadn't seen it, that is what Gideon needed to hear. And that is what changed the situation. It didn't stop Gideon being Gideon. Gideon was still Gideon with all his weaknesses, with all his fears, with all his shortcomings. But what was the difference? I will be with you. It didn't matter how Gideon felt. From God's perspective, he could do the job because God was with him. You know, it's no skin off God's nose. He can use anything. You see, he spoke through a donkey. He can use anything and anybody. God can do it. He doesn't even need Gideon. He could do it himself. But he decides that he will get more glory by using somebody like Gideon. He could have used an impressive army leader. And he does use, sometimes we read in the Old Testament stories of him using kings and leaders to do his business. But he decides he's going to use Gideon because he wants the glory for what is about to happen. And this morning, are we feeling a bit like Gideon? Do we have Gideon's perspective on our own lives? Do we feel fearful, doubting? Do we really believe God can use us? Use us to make a difference in the lives of the people around us, in our communities? Oops, I'm really sorry. I don't have to turn it off normally because nobody ever rings us normally. Right. God wants to use us, each one of us. He has given us his Holy Spirit. He says, doesn't he, I will be with you. He now says, I am not only with you, I am in you. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in us. And Jesus calls us to do his work, to be his disciples. And what perspective are we going to have this morning? Do we see ourselves as Gideon did? Or do we see ourselves as God did? Because I strongly believe that this is one of the best lies of the devil, of the enemy, that he tells us that we can't be used. He tells us that we're insignificant. He tells us God can't use you. And because of that, then for so many years, and in so many places, the church is ineffective because we believe that lie. Because we believe that lie rather than the truth, which is God's perspective. It doesn't matter who you are, what you feel like, or what your qualifications, I am with you. That is what God says. And he comes and he says, you are a mighty warrior because I am with you and I am strengthening you. I can use you. And who had the true perspective? Was it Gideon or was it God? It's not a difficult question, is it? Any votes for Gideon? Any votes for God? Okay. And we see, read the rest of the story, and you see it was true. He was a mighty warrior. He didn't believe it, but he was a mighty warrior. Did he rescue Israel from the hand of Midian? Yes, he did, because God was with him. Did he strike down all the Midianites as God had said he would? Yes, that was the truth. And when are we going to stop listening to that lie? When am I going to stop listening to that lie? And start believing things from God's perspective. You read the book of Acts. The difference was, on the day of Pentecost, the disciples stopped listening to that lie, and they believed that God could use them to make a difference, and they went out, and they turned the world upside down. God is calling us like he called Gideon, and the call is the same to all of us. In Matthew 28, he says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" He says, "Don't worry, I'm in charge. I'm in control of everything." And he says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Do you believe that you're part of that calling? He's calling each one of us to go and make disciples. It may be with your 3-year-old, your 30-year-old. It may be with your neighbor. It may be with somebody we work with. God is calling us to go and make disciples. He's given us everything that we need to do that. So are we going to leave this morning with which perspective? Are we going to leave with a Gideon perspective on our circumstances? God has abandoned us. Or are we going to leave with God's perspective? In all things, I am working for your good. Are we going to leave this morning with Gideon's perspective on our own lives? Fearful, the least, good for nothing. God can't use me. Or are we going to leave with God's perspective? The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And that's not just a kind of a pumping you up, come on, yeah, you can do it. Because it might work for a bit, mightn't it? It might kind of, till you get home and kind of 10 minutes later, that pumping up's kind of waned away. But if we let the truth of that permeate our lives, we stop listening to that lie of who the devil says we are, who we say we are, and start believing who we are in God, who he has died to rescue us and to buy us to be, and who has come back to life so that we can know that power in our own lives. It will make a difference. It can change us and can change the lives of people around us. Just want to show a song, listen to a song, which is called "The Voice of Truth." And it asks us, which voice are we going to listen to as we leave this morning? So it's on the PowerPoint. It's just still in the PowerPoint, is it there? Let me try. Oh, don't worry. Go home and YouTube video, put it on YouTube. "Voice of Truth," a song by Casting Crowns. It's a powerful song. Have a listen and think about which voice are you going to be listening to. Let's pray together. Lord, I ask that you would forgive me for so long. For so many years, I've believed my perspective on my circumstances. I've believed my perspective on who I am. But thank you, Lord, that your perspective is so different. And that is the perspective that you want us to live by. Lord, even though in those darkest, darkest situations, even in the valley of the shadow of death, Lord, I pray that we would still know that perspective, that you are with us and that you are working for our good. And that as we leave here, that we can have that peace of knowing that. As we leave here, we know that you can use us. Doesn't matter how weak, how insignificant I feel, because it's not about me, it's about you. It's about who you are, and it's about whether you're faithful, and it's about the ability that your Holy Spirit gives us. Lord, give us your perspective, we pray. And Lord, then as we do that, then we can see you do great things through us, as you did through Gideon. And not for our glory, but for the glory of the one, the only one who is worthy of all praise. Amen.